And then it occurred to me, what luck.
Okay.
I
so,
swore a solemn
my family
vow.
Years ago, really
I was invited to a party.
Totally different.
And I never
I come from a large Irish, Italian, Catholic family.
Well, here we are on Wednesday night. It is WUWM at night. And we always come to you at this time with stories from Exfabula. Real people, your neighbors, telling real stories, no notes, no rehearsals, on stage without a net. It's compelling stuff. It's funny stuff. And the co-founder of Exfabula always drops by on Wednesdays. Leah Delaney is here. Good to
hello,
see you again.
Hello, hello,
hello. Tonight we've got some good stuff. You called this, the stuff we're going to hear tonight is from what you call the gorilla slam. And you'll have to explain that. We're not talking.
Yes.
No, we're talking.
No monkeys, just people.
Just people.
Well, normally with our story slams, we set up camp at a bar, essentially, on a Tuesday or Wednesday night, and we give you a theme, and we ask people to show up, and it's all planned out on a monthly basis. And people come, and they tell their stories, and they're prepared and such. But one of our pursuits into outreaching has been through guerrilla story slams, where we kind of just go to an unfamiliar joint. We bring a microphone, we bring an amp and a recorder, and we start vetting people in, you know, whatever sort of community is happening, and we ask them to tell their stories on the spot.
Wow.
It's really interesting because you get some people who are just natural. You don't understand when you see somebody with a microphone, when you're an onlooker, you don't understand the ability that you have as a human to tell your story. But when given the chance to, you can get some really great fodder, really great content, and really great compelling stories. And actually, what we're going to feature today is from a guerrilla story slam that we had at the Fondi Food Market. And we have two stories today. And the theme for that day was comfort food. So we asked people to tell stories about, you know, their experiences with comfort food.
Good topic for a food market.
Yeah, you know, we're obvious like that.
Well, let's hear the first one.
Sure thing. The first story that we have today is from Marion X, and she's going to tell her stories about her comfort food, which was her favorite. I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to have you listen to it.
So I don't really have anything prepared exactly, but I grew up about a half mile from this market. This is the Fondi's Farmers Market. I usually go to Mitchell Street now because it's closer to my house. But this was the market where I learned about things that grow in the ground and how delicious they can be. And interesting little piece of trivia, they used to sell live chickens here. And you could either have them dispatch the chicken for you and pluck it and send you home with it. Or you could choose to do that yourself at home. So at some point in the 80s, they stopped doing that. And I was kind of disappointed because, you know, now they have like this lovely petting farm and I'm very excited to go check that out later. But, you know, I was also like a trip to the farm when you came here. So it was really great. But my parents felt very strongly about eating food that came from the ground. And I think that's something that this market and my parents really instilled in me. We would come here every Saturday, and my mom would bring friends from the neighborhood as well. So every Saturday she would come with May and Annie Mae, and Annie Mae ate a clove of garlic every day to ward off colds. But she lived to be, like, I don't remember exactly, but she was in her late 90s. She was still very active until then. But we would come here and we would get our food. And my mom, she's a very passionate tomato eater. And I think that tomatoes, for me, embody summer because of that. So tomatoes, you would come here and you would get your wide variety of tomatoes and take them home and just eat them whole. One of my favorite things to eat as a child was a whole tomato with a nice smear of mayonnaise on it. It's the best thing ever. But this market also gave me a sense of that food should be about your community. This markets like this are normal in a lot of places in the world. Here, they're kind of, it's a movement and it's a new thing. This market's been here a really long time, and markets like it have existed for a really long time elsewhere in the world. So, you know, the experience of coming to this market prepared me for traveling. And that, I think, was probably one of the greatest gifts that it gave me, is the sense that I can be part of a community wherever I go. So when I was 20, my parents were like, go do something on your own. Kicked me out of the house and sent me to Ecuador for a summer. I didn't speak Spanish. I didn't know anyone. I'd never been away from them for more than like a week at a time. And they sent me to Ecuador and were like, have fun. And it wasn't like totally mysterious, like you're just going to get off a plane. I was in a homestay. But one of the first things that I did with the family that I visited there, don't speak English or Spanish, and they don't speak English, was they took me shopping. And the market that we went to was close. The place that I was in was in the Andes Mountains, so we're in a valley, and this was at the north end of the city, and we lived at the south end, so we had to take the bus, which was kind of an interesting cross-cultural experience, because I take the bus here, but it's not like taking the bus in Ecuador. It's much more, there's not really a stop. You have to point if you want someone to stop. And we got there, and I got off, and I felt right at home right away. There were vendors with their wares all out in front of them, and, you know, even though I didn't understand what they were saying, they were, you know, here's a tomato, here's a potato, something that you know. Because food really is universal, even if it's different. Garlic in every cuisine you can think of. Onions, every cuisine you can think of. Potatoes come from the Andes. I'm Irish. I think that's mine, right? Nuh-uh. It comes from the Andes. So, you know, and I learned a lot of words that day, and I was, like, crying all day long because I was so nervous, and everything was different. But, you know, I got there, and here's a tomato, you know, and there's mayonnaise to be had. So it was that farmers markets and the people that bring food to them are a wonderful community of people, and for me, that's comfort food.
And that was Marian X with her comfort food story.
You know, when you go out and do these gorilla slams, in my experience over the years, sometimes when you show up with a microphone and stick it in somebody's face, they get very intimidated. Do people open up to you when you record these?
Well, we don't necessarily like stick it in somebody's face or trip them or trick them into coming over. We have a tendency to sort of persuade people and kind of massage them. Let them know that, mm-hmm. you know, their word is valid, their stories are valid, and your voice wants to be heard in Milwaukee.
Okay. So that's less intimidating than, I suppose, in having a reporter person come up and say, what do you think about?
What's your favorite food? What makes you comfortable? Yes. No, we don't do that.
Well,
not yet, at least.
Let's hear the second comfort food story here.
Certainly. This one is actually from one of another co-founder of Exfabula.
I was going to say, I recognize this name.
Yeah. Mrs. Amy Schleicher. And here's her comfort food story.
Hi, everybody. So I my mom was a great cook, but I didn't really appreciate it as a child. It was just kind of the way things were, and I've kind of seen, based on other families, that my mom is a really great cook, and I just didn't know that. But for some reason, when I was a child, I never picked up on learning how to cook, and so it took me until I was 22 and living in a housing co-op in Madison for me to actually learn how to cook. I used to be what I call a heat and serve cook. So if I had a box of something or a jar of something, I could heat it up and cook it. But I decided I was going to live at this co-op in Madison, and one of the requirements was that every 2 weeks you had to cook for the entire house. You had to cook a meal. And I was very intimidated about this. And so I paired up with a housemate of mine. And we cooked every week together instead of every 2 weeks alone. And I can really credit Dee Dee, my housemate, who happened to be this incredible person. She was studying soil science, and she had worked on organic farms in California, and she never used recipes. So this is somebody who taught me how to cook. So she would start, we would open the fridge, and we had this giant commercial-sized fridge, and look and see what we had, and go, okay, we have some of this and we have some of that. Well, we need to start a meal. And every meal we started with garlic and onions, chopping up garlic and onions. And we cooked together for about 2 years. And by the end of the 2 years, Dee Dee moved on. She got her degree and she moved away. And one of the clues in the co-op of whether you were a good cook or not was if you were asked to save a plate for, if you couldn't attend the meal, you could put a note saying, save a plate for Amy. You know, I can't make the meal, but I want a plate of the food. And there were some cooks where there were no save a plate, and of the 12 to 15 people who live there, there might only be 4 people who show up. So that was a sign that you weren't a very good cook. But I was amazed to discover that people started requesting, you know, while I was cooking with Dee Dee, of course, they started requesting things. And then even when Dee Dee left, they still requested that I have a plate saved for them. And that gave me a lot of confidence to cook for 12 to 15 people and have them like my food. And I developed a few comfort foods out of that, and they still remain comfort foods for me to this day. These things that just take me right back to being 22 and starting with garlic and onions. And the funny thing is now, that's been many years back, and I'm now married, and it's a household of 2, and I still can only proportion things for 12 to 15 people. So I'll start with a bag of potatoes, and I gotta chop up the full 5-pound bag, and we'll have leftovers for, you know, ages. But luckily you can freeze things, and luckily I have a husband who had a family where he appreciates any food that you make. So, but the really funny thing is that I'm still uncomfortable with recipes. And last night actually was an example. I had these tomatoes from my garden, and I had roasted them, and I was trying to figure out how to use them. And I sat on the recipe website for an hour looking at recipes going, oh, that looks good. That looks good. Oh, what shall I make? How much energy do I have? And slowly my energy level just went lower and lower. And I ended up at the end of that closing the computer and saying, I think I'm just going to wing it. And so last night I made a tomato cream soup that I think turned out pretty well, but once again, no recipes, and I can't tell you how I made it exactly because I don't remember. I just added a little of this and a little of that. So I can credit that experience with learning how to cook, and I wish more people had to go through that cooking for others experience. And I think it would be, we would all appreciate food and how to make food a little more.
And that was Amy Schleicher with her comfort food story.
What's your comfort food?
My comfort food. You know, whenever I go to a new restaurant, I don't care what kind of food is on, you know, is on the menu. I always go for the cheeseburger.
Oh, my gosh.
A good cheeseburger.
We are kindred spirits.
Oh, I knew it. And a chocolate malt. Like, if everywhere could be the Night Owl, I would be so happy.
Chocolate malt. Yes. Let's. By the way, that's where we're going after we're done here. So we'll,
perfect,
you know, see you at Gilly's or somewhere.
Yeah.
Leah Delaney, thank you so much.
Oh,
we're here with
you.
Ex Fabula every Wednesday night with stories to tell, and we do this every week. Thanks again.
Thank you.